Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The Trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation. Born at the Bell Mission Cherokee community in California, Lee Standing Bear Moore is a Ktuwa Cherokee storyteller, historian, author, and lecturer. Standing Bear studied American Indian history and customs for more than 35 years. Bear began his long career of conducting wedding ceremonies at the sacred Manitaka, Place of Peace. Today, Bear produces American Indian wedding ceremonies across the country. Lee Standing Bear Moore was awarded the Silver Star, Bronze Star, and the Purple Heart 38 years after the Tet Offensive in 1968 in Vietnam. He received the awards on September 6, 2006. Major General John Chastain presented the awards at the Hot Springs Village in Arkansas. Lee said that the true heroes of that day gave their lives for others. It just so happened that he survived. Grand Chief Woah Blaiza is a holy man and wisdom keeper of indigenous peoples. As a noted American Indian spiritual leader, elder, storyteller, singer, and cultural consultant, he has traveled across the continent for over 30 years gathering stories, songs, and dances from the elders of many tribes. Now he shares that wisdom with the people across the continent and around the world. Woah Blaiza, who was a member of the cast of the famed motion picture Dances with Wolves, is the great-grandson of the famed Dakota Sioux Chief Tiwakan Sacred Lodge, who was instrumental in restoring peace between the Dakota and the United States Army during the Great Indian Wars. He is a follower of the teachings of the famous Lakota holy man, Chief Tatanka Iutake, Sitting Bull. Thanks for being with us this evening, and your mics are live.
Hello.
Yes, your mics are live.
Good evening to you, Woah Blaiza. It is an honor to sit on the same telephone line and have a chance to speak with you again.
How Midaki seems standing there.
Thank you, brother.
Well, it's an honor to have you both. And been a while since we spoke. Interviewed Grandfather Lee 4 or 5 years ago, and haven't had a chance to. And this is an honor. It's the first time we've spoken with Grandfather Woah Blaiza. But fellas, I'd like you to just chat and catch up. Old home week.
Well, I personally would like to know what are you up to these days, Woah Blaiza?
Well, these days I'm still following the stories and messages of the prophecy keepers around the Americas. I've been traveling down all the way down to near Central America to meet with all three continents of American spiritual leaders of the indigenous tribes. And they've been sharing prophecies and getting ready for the new calendars that are about to appear that the people put together, just as they put together them over 5,200 years ago, the Aztec and Mayan calendars. So it's really wonderful work, and it's really important work, because we need to make a path and show our children the ancient teachings of all the peoples of peace.
Yes.
Well, sounds like you've been getting around.
Yeah. Yes, I've been working a lot with Don Alejandro of the Mayan Council of Elders. He's the grand elder, and he shares a lot with me about the prophecy work that they have been doing for many, many generations and what's about to come. They call the shift of the ages and the new way of life, the new world that we are in the process of developing here on Mother Earth and teaching all our children. The main thing is the message of love.
That is the key.
Yes.
To all prophecy.
Yes.
Is the key of love, huh?
Yes.
I find it quite interesting that, you know, you examine so many different cultures and so many different stories, and if you are able to see them in perspective, that is from walking the circle and looking at them from different viewpoints, you see that they all boil down to one thing, love. Yeah. It's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful idea.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you've been doing a lot of work with the sacred Manitoka site down there in Arkansas, and that a lot of the prophecies that you shared with the people are about to come true as well.
Yes. My. I wasn't aware that maybe you keep up with such things.
Oh,
it's
yes,
just,
I always keep
a little small Manitoka. But, yes, Manitoka keeps us busy all the time. There is not a day that goes by that we do not have visitors come from many different lands, different places, and they come and show their respect, and they make prayers and give thanks, and hopefully we know that they return home. And the one thing that they hold up high, higher than anything else, is the blessings and the miracles that that they have learned about as they have come here.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's a great healing for all of them as well.
We are preparing ourselves for the moment, I suppose, when one prophecy of Manitoka will be coming a reality. We did not realize the tremendous importance of this prophecy, I don't think so, until just this last year or two. But many things have come to pass that underscore and underline the importance. For those people who are listening right now that may or may not know much about Manitoka, the word itself comes from our brothers far in the south. It comes from the Tula, who were Toltec, predating the Maya, predating the Olmec and predating the Aztec. And their word for Manitoka means the unbroken circle, or the place of peace. That is what an unbroken circle is.
Yes.
Is a place of peace. And it is from the Tula that we take this word. And they were the ancient keepers of Manitoka. But Manitoka is a site where people came for thousands of years to give thanks and to pray. And while they were here, they benefited by learning what I call the secrets of life, that allowed many peoples, many walks, many tribes to survive in a good way. But the prophecies of Manitoka that I speak of this evening have to do with, Excel, which is also a word of the far south. It's Excel. It was the great feminine energy, the great feminine spirit. And today we call that great feminine spirit that resides at Manitoka we call her the Rainbow Woman, and because she represents not only the red man, but also the black man, and the yellow man, and the white man. It is said that Rainbow Woman, or Ixchel, presided over the peace of Manitaka, the peace of the valley, because so many tribes would come, and many times the tribes would not be friends with each other. They would be enemies. But it was necessary that when they came here together, and they prayed in peace. And they've not only prayed in peace, they found their own personal peace. But there were times when tribes did not quite understand each other and became opposed to each other. One such case, and many of the stories of Manitaka have to do with love. One man falling in love with one girl, and as they fell in love here, they would become married and then journey back to usually the bride's home. But one such case, there was a chief who did not like the people of the South, and this young man had come and fallen in love with his daughter, and he disliked this very much, and so he decided that he was going to take retribution not only against the young man but against his family as well. And as he began his plot, the Rainbow Woman, or Ixchel, the great feminine energy and spirit of the mountain, awoke. And she stood before him with two eagle feathers, one in each hand. And as she laid the first feather down, it was a warning that you should not break the peace of Manitaka, and it would be much better to fly away than to challenge that peace. And she then stood there, and the chief hopefully would give up on his anger and his resentment. In this particular case, he failed to do so. And that night he began to plot all over again. And for a second time the woman came to him, the great feminine spirit, Ixchel, Rainbow Woman, and she laid the second feather. And as that happened, he was seized upon by everyone around him, including his own people of his own tribe. And they physically drug him out of the valley to the place that is known as the place of no name, the place of great darkness. That is a simple story where it was demonstrated how the great feminine spirit of Manitaka kept the peace of the valley. But today something else is happening here. We realize that this world that we live in, and Wablesa, forgive me, because it is my full intention to hear all that you have learned and to give you all the time that we can. But when these things occurred, these simple lessons of life on how to get along and how to be with each other in love, things did not remain the same. This country was invaded by many people from foreign lands, and the old ways were gone, and the people did not come to Manitaka anymore it was far too dangerous. It was far too far to come. And so the lady of the mountain receded back into the mountain and began to sleep where she sleeps today.
Mm-hmm.
But this world that we live in is on the brink of many, many critical problems, critical issues. We look at ecological disaster worldwide, not just here in the United States, but in many countries across the world, there's ecological disaster happening. At the same time, we are facing a world that is near economic collapse as well. We are so close to that edge. That rubber band of world economics has been wound so tightly that it may break at any moment. I think these are things that you already know. I'm not telling you anything that anyone doesn't know already.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in a world right now when politics is so fragile, so delicate. We are at a time in history when more and more people appear to be leaving the organized religions. And at the same time, their spirituality appears to be increasing. On October the 20th of this year, 2012, at Manitaka will gather 8,844 people who will form a circle around the entire 7-mile base of the Manitaka Mountain. There, they will pray, they will sing, they will drum, and they will give thanks. And the moment that they touch and hold each other's hands in this great circle, they will create a holy vibration. By the grace of God and through the power of Spirit, a holy vibration will be created. A new consciousness will be born.
Ho.
Oh.
A light will be born.
How?
And this light will grow and grow and grow and spread to many, many lands.
It's wonderful.
In the morning hours, many processions from different directions, from all the directions, spiritual elders of many faiths, even Catholics and Protestants and Buddhists and Congolese people and many peoples of different faiths will form processions up the mountain, and at daylight will be sunrise ceremonies. The shofar of the Bible, the ram's horn, will blow all over the mountain. And at the same time, the drums will begin. The drums will pound, lightly pound, boom, boom. As we near the time of the moment when they all will gather together, choirs from every church in Hot Springs will gather at the base of the mountain and they too will form processionals to where they will stand in the circle, and they will be singing their spiritual choirs, their spiritual songs. And then at that moment, all the church bells in Hot Springs will begin ringing all at the same time. After the moment itself occurs, spiritual elders of many faiths will be speaking from platforms in various locations around the sacred mountain and deliver the path, deliver the messages of the path that they have chosen. It will be a time when we set aside all differences of religion. It will be a time when we set aside all differences of color, nationality, of politics. In this great circle, 7 miles long, will be people who are ready, who have prepared themselves for this awakening. How long will this awakening take? Who knows how long? Awakening does not take a moment. It takes generations. It takes lifetimes. And we are simply practicing what we know to have worked for thousands of years in the circles of Manitaka. We're repeating those. And as we do that, it was dreamed by a high Catholic mother in Canada. She and 3 of her Catholic nuns all dreamed the same dream the same night. And it was the same dream that was dreamed by 2 Maya elders who had come to Manitaka on the same day. And it was dreamed by many people at the same time. And this is where we come to the understanding that this is the time that we are supposed to be doing this. I think once this is all over and all gone, I think Bear is going to disappear.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Uh-huh.
So, I have been totally consumed by this for many months now. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite happy. There will be no charge, no fees, no monies of any kind passed. We will be asking no one's money for anything, for any reason. We must keep money as far out of our circle as possible.
Oh.
When people come to the circle, we ask that they empty their pockets and their purses and all things of money. We will not be doing any fundraising of any kind. There will be no vendors of any kind during the entire event. This is the way we've been told to conduct this for the best and the for the best good of all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we're going to do it, but I don't think it makes much difference if we know how or not, because if we follow spirit, we follow the will of the Creator, we have no need for such things. So.
Ho.
We feel beautiful.
Yes, I believe that last time I spoke with you, you talked about this, these sisters having these dreams, and that there was something about to occur, but I didn't know exactly what. Just this past week when I was getting the messages.
Yes. It I gave an assignment. We have a young man. In fact, we I have many students that call every day about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It depends upon where they live, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they call, and three of them are Muslim, Islam, and,
uh-huh.
and three are Christian.
Uh-huh.
And then we have two others that are of really, I don't believe that we can call them. They have a religion, so to speak, but they have many questions. One of them is a young man who wrote a most profound theological kind of article, and it's called Reconciliation. Very deep, but very enlightening, because he reconciles the differences between American Indian spirituality and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
He was 13 when he began having the knowing that he would be, you know, doing this article.
Uh-huh.
He was 16 years old when he actually allowed me to publish it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage people to go to manataka.org and find the article on the front page that talks about American Indian spirituality versus Christianity and how they may be and are reconciled. It's a part of this bringing the people together.
Uh-huh.
That I spoke about. It's not Bear that's doing it. It's the Creator that's walking through and walking with so many people, and in this case with children who are coming up with these profound things.
Mm-hmm.
To share with everyone.
Yes.
I gave David Three Dogs an assignment. I said, David, and I really didn't honestly know what I was doing. It just came out of my mouth, and I said, David, I want you to go find the highest Swami in the United States, the highest Rama in this country of the Hindu faith. I personally don't know anything about the Hindu people. I mean, I have not read anything that I am aware of, or I have not had much contact with the people of the Hindu faith. As great and wonderful as it is, I am ashamed to say that I have not had much exposure to it. But regardless, something said. It was Spirit that said, send this boy to find the to find the Swami. And a month went by, and I heard nothing from this young man. And then a month and a week went by, and a month and a half went by, and nothing. But then one day, I got an email, and he said, Grandpa, I have contacted the Swami. And then later, he called me. He told me that when he went in, there were many priests in different parts of the temple that were conducting ceremonies, but he was led way in the back into a small room where this old man sat. And the old man really didn't appear to be too interested in what our young friend had to say or do. I said, well, what did you say to him? He said, well, I didn't have much to say to him except I began to tell him the story of Manataka.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, okay, good, good. And he said, but the old man just didn't pay much attention until I got to a certain place in the story, and then all of a sudden he sat up, sat forward, and leaned in to hear my story better. And then a few minutes later, he stopped me, would not let me go on. And he stood up, and he walked outside. A few minutes later, he came back with another priest. One of the priests I had seen was performing ceremony in the temple as we came in. And then this man, this priest, sat down with the Swami, and I started all over again. And as I got to a point in the story of Manatanka, they both stopped me, stood up, went outside. A few minutes later, came back with three more priests. And they sat and they listened again to the same story of Manatanka. But this time, they began to mumble near the end of the story. They were talking among themselves. And all of a sudden, the Swami stands up and he says, "We are coming." He said, "Grandpa, Bear, I did not even invite them. And here they're standing up saying they're coming." And then he said that this Swami, after the priests had gone back to their duties, the Swami said to him, "I know that it was rude for the mumbling to begin." And he said, "Well, why?" David asked him, why were they saying Mandataka? Mandataka. And he said, "Well, that in our way, the Lord God Vishnu, who is an avatar of God, before he ascended into heaven, he went to a place on earth that had many, many hot water pools. And we call it the place of peace, Mandataka. And it was at that place of peace that the Lord God Vishnu first purified his body in the hot water pools with many beautiful stones all around it. And then he purified his emotions, his inner self. And then in the last days, he purified his spirit, his soul. And then he was allowed to ascend into heaven." And the Swami explained to three dogs, he said, "We have never known where this place was at before you came. We have looked throughout our country called India, and we could not find it. We've looked in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and we have looked in Sri Lanka and so many different places. And we have never been able to find this one place. But here you as a child come and tell us."
They didn't know about Amaristan.
I suppose not. I suppose not. I don't know. I really don't know the different terms and the different words and the ways of belief that they have. Of course, we respect them, but we certainly don't know much about that, you know. But that's an interesting story. And they will be coming in great numbers to the moment on October the 20th. We know that we have received letters from the people of the Congo, and high priests of the Congo will be coming. We know that the Catholics, at least of one order or more, will be coming as well. So, I went to a chaplain's meeting. I'm a member of the Chaplain's Association. And I went to a meeting and I asked for a few minutes to tell the priests and tell the ministers there that about the event that is coming. And I waited until the last minute before everyone was going to go home. And as I began to tell them, they wanted more to know more information. And before it was all over, every last minister in the place signed a piece of paper joining the effort. So, we have not been able to speak to one minister of any faith who has not immediately said, I want to be a part of that.
Oh.
It's a part, it has to do with awakening the great feminine energy, the spirit of the mountain. Because it is said in prophecy that when the people of all colors, of all rainbows, from many directions come, and they all hold hands in the circle at the same time and give thanks, will the great energy be released. So it is happening.
Oh. There's much to be shared about.
Yes, yes. I have decided the best thing that I can do is get out of the way. Just get out of the way and let things happen as they choose to happen. And all the beautiful things that have been happening for the last 6 months to a year now, I am very grateful to say that, you know, I've had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with it, that it has just happened. And so, I take my cue from that. Shut up and get out of the way. Yes.
Well, this is all a timely event because as I've been listening to the prophets, of today, you know, they carried messages of many prophets of many lifetimes. They talk about this time when the leap of life is going to occur here on Mother Earth. And they call it the year of the opening in the year 2012. And they talk about a rainbow of life that is going to occur, and that this feminine energy is going to come out of all the mountains around the planet. And so they also say that there's going to time going to come when this rainbows, four rainbows join all around the earth. And so what you're speaking of is all is the Creator's plan. It's all coming together. And we're seeing it in the most almost like unique or unbelievable ways. We don't have to do anything but just, like you say, get out of the way and let it happen.
Yes.
And me as a prophecy keeper for the children, I travel around and I listen to their stories as well as I listen to the prophecies of the elders. And so they said that there's this peace is coming, and it's a peace of 1,000 years, they say. Then many others say peace of many, many more years than that. But you know, I went to a huge gathering in 1993 after leaving the place where the sacred peace red stone comes from. The pipestone quarries, I was at ceremonial dance there. And no sooner within 2 hours out of coming out of the dance, participating, when this lady from China and this lady from Switzerland said, you must come with us. I said, why? And I said, I need to give my thanks to many people for the wonderful ceremony. No, you must gather your things and you must get in our car and we have to take you someplace. We just heard about this thing today. And I said, what is it? And she said, it's the gathering after 100 years. In 1893, they had the first Parliament of the World Religions, where people came together and discussed their religions without any saying one was better than the other. And so this one, it was occurring in Chicago. And so they took me to Chicago, and where I met many, many, many priests and priestesses and spiritual leaders from all over the planet. And it was a very powerful time. And I just was wondering what would come out of this gathering. And it was just a foretelling of what was going to happen now, that the people would really come together, you know, and hold hands in this great circle of life in many places, but where the rainbow is occurring in the Valley of the Rainbows, that's all part of the great story of life. And you're telling about it, and you're sharing, and you've been opening the road for it to occur, for people to come re-experience the great place of peace, the Manitaka.
Yes, thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing story that you tell.
Mm-hmm. This was a prophecy keepers from the many different continents. They had been coming together, and they've been sharing these messages, and it was all about the year 2012. And they don't even know about the Mayans, but they're talking about the same time, the year of the opening.
Aye.
And they said there were two, long ago, in the beginning, there were just two main tribes of Africa. And those are all going to come back into knowledge among the people. And they said it's going to be a time when we must teach our children and speak, let the grandmothers speak to all of the people. And we all must have this message in our mind that we need to say stop these four main things, which is to stop war, to stop anger, to stop greed, and to stop violence. And this is the time where we live, and all of these are occurring, and they need to stop. And how will they do that? By us coming together and holding hands with each other as members of one family, of all the children of Mother Earth. And so this is a great thing that's going to be one of the key parts of the opening.
Yes.
What's coming in the future.
I don't know how things will occur.
Mm-hmm.
How these great, great changes of human nature will occur.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that we have become so competitive against one another, so distrustful of one another.
Mm-hmm.
We have built an entire world society on the idea of scarcity, that Mother Earth cannot possibly supply it all to all the millions of people, so therefore we must compete and against each other. And that is not the truth. It is anything but the truth. But this is how commerce is best conducted. And I wonder, how is it that man will devise a different paradigm, a different way of conducting ourselves? And I don't really worry about it as far as if it can be done or not. Because I know that if people have the right frame of mind, they have the right heart, that we can accomplish anything that we desire. We just simply have a different paradigm in which it's built, on which it's made.
It's going to take a shift in consciousness, and that's what's happening.
A shift in consciousness is what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I eagerly await that time when we, our awareness, our knowing, can be increased to such a level. You know, we live in the most unique time of all of human history. There is no time that has ever been that is as great as this one. I believe that Creator has given us eyes in the backs of our head, you know, to see all the history of before us. I subscribe to, I think maybe three, it was four, but now it's three different archaeological and anthropological history type publications that I receive. And every day, every single day of the week, there are new discoveries about what was, what our history before us. Our grandfathers knew nothing about their history. But we know volumes, tomes of information about our past, who we can know where we have been and how we got to where we're at now. At the same time, we have eyes that are situated all around our head. We can see 360 degrees all around us, from one end of the earth to the other, from far above earth to far below. We have eyes to see like we never have before. And at the same time, we have the ability to see around the corners of time. I know it is said no human should venture to go that direction, to go that way. But prophecies of many nations have been doing that for centuries, telling us what will be around that corner of time. So if you listen and you adhere to you know what prophecies say, you could see around that corner of time. But we can also, there are many other ways to see around that corner of time as well. But I believe that Creator has given us eyes to see like never before, because we will become witnesses to an event, to something, to some great, great thing that is going to happen, that human beings are going to put this into our very DNA. So we are the witnesses. We are not only witnesses for ourselves, but all of our ancestors before us are in our bodies right now as we sit in these great grandstands of life and are going to be witness to this great thing that is coming. I look to it with great happiness, with great joy. I know it is it's going to be a magnificent thing that we are going to witness.
Yeah, as I've been attending many gatherings, what we call the star knowledge of the way the indigenous people view the star knowledge. The star knowledge people, we call Oyate in the Lakota Dakota language, we call the star nation people. We say that they're all watching us, you know, because we all came from the stars. And we were all sent to this wonderful planet, Mother Earth, to be experience this this change and this new way of being. It's like we're all the prayers of many, many, many millenniums of time. We've been prayed from way, way back by the story people, that these children would be born into this time and this era when something really great would occur, and a great, beautiful thing. And so all they say, we just have to stand outside at night and watch all the stars, and they are all watching us because they wanted to see what these children of today are going to do, how they're going to partake in this wonderful shift to a higher elevation of life that is occurring now.
Yes.
It's a wonderful time, but you know, the prophecies, as I talk to many great elders here in North America and Central America, South America, they always say, when you carry a prophecy, you have a great responsibility. And the responsibility is that, you know, you might have received a vision about a prophecy that's coming, but the most important thing is that you tell what's going to come, but you also going to tell the positive meaning of life, the positive change that this will bring. So in order to get to that place, maybe there may be some difficulties or trials and tribulations to smooth out the road.
Yes,
but so you always never leave give a prophecy without telling the end of the story. So that's what, you know, we talk so much about this one man who is prophet who carries many prophecies about this dark time on earth, but he doesn't tell about the light. I mean, maybe he did, but maybe it just didn't even get through. I mean, people have just left out that part as they got that part. But all of the wonderful, wonderful prophecies I've seen that are written in stone all over this wonderful planet of ours, they're written in petroglyphs and pictographs. They have wonderful, wonderful outcomes, and it's just the way you have to examine them. You know, the one night...
Exactly.
Looked at in New Mexico, it took 900 years for the elders to find out what it meant and how we should proceed with life. But it's wonderful. The outcome is wonderful, that the tree of life will once again blossom upon Mother Earth. And that's what it's all about.
Gentlemen, do either one of you need to take a short break?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we play... Why don't we play for a pause for the cause, just under 5 minutes, we'll play the Sitting Bull Memorial song. And we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh!
Well, we're back, gentlemen.
Oh. No.
Good. You had a chance to get refreshed?
Oh, absolutely.
The pause that refreshes, yep.
Yes. Yes.
And we're not talking about Pepsi Cola there.
You know, I remember praying. I forgot the name of the big town in Mississippi where the hospital was at. And,
oh, Jackson.
Jackson, Mississippi. And Will Blaise, you were there, your head was so injured so much, and I prayed so hard that you would walk strong and well with us again one day, and here you are.
How did I come in? Many
yes.
Things.
Yes. It said there would be a long, dark tunnel that you would walk through. And but at the other end of that tunnel, there would be tremendous, beautiful blessings. Many blessings. And And I hope and know that right now that you're beginning to experience those things.
Oh, yes. Many wonderful, wonderful blessings. You know, I just got a call last month, and, you know, you talk about finding old things from the past. Well, I guess in France they found an old cave, a huge cave with ancient paintings. You may have read about that somewhere, one of those archaeological magazines.
Yes,
and I
yes.
can't recollect the name of it, but there's a woman over there who heard of me, and she wants to bring me and a couple other indigenous spiritual people over the next year to examine the cave and to try to see what we can transcribe from the paintings, what it means.
Ah.
And that was really awesome. I didn't.
Is it in France?
No. Yes, in France.
Are you fellows aware of the... a few years ago, they found a projectile point embedded in a campfire that had been buried for, they figured, 17,000 years. And that point, they discerned, was halfway in between the Clovis culture, which originated here, and the Solutrean culture of southern France. Now, the Ketua elders have always said, and our nation was pulled together in 1750, and we were told that we migrated here in boats before the Stone Age. And this discovery, which you can get online and watch a National Geographic video called Who Really Discovered America? Or Ice Age Columbus, and you can read the whole story.
Wow, great. Yeah, so many ancient things been discovered now that we forgot about, that how we knew each other many, many thousands and thousands of years ago. I was just talking about the Pipestone.
Right.
The Pipestone quarries, and about how, even 2,000 years ago, the African people got a message that we were the protectors of a sacred site that had the most sacred stone on the earth. And from my visiting the place, it's called the Pipestone Quarries, back in the 90s with my sister. She's a spiritual interpreter, and we talked with the spirits of the land who are written in stone. There was like 57, I think, Pipestone carvings right around the Three Maidens there. And then in the 30s, late 30s, somehow some people got in there and they used chisels and they took all those particulars out of there and took them to the World's Fair. And when they brought them back, they were missing almost half of them. And the people who were still in the stone there at Pipestone said to my sister for us to tell the peoples that a long time ago we were sent here from a galaxy long, far, far away. And we were sent here to bring a very special gift to all the children of Mother Earth. And it's the gift of peace. And we were split apart recently. So we were like a family. We had a place where the Creator gave us to live here on Mother Earth, and now we're split up. And so we'd like to put out a call for those who took our relatives, we don't know where, to other countries or wherever, to please bring us back. And Wolf Blazer, could you please, when they get all these pieces of the main petroglyph back together, tell the people however they can glue them back together or put them back in their sacred holy home that they have here in Pipestone, Minnesota, and so that we can do our work. And because it really could be a dangerous precipice for the people to not have us together to help us share the wonderful spiritual gifts we have with the children of Mother Earth. And so I told that to the National Park Service leaders there, and they tried their best to gather the ones they had, and they had them laying all around outside where people just walked on them and stepped on them and threw trash on them. They brought them inside, and they created a separate room where they placed them all together. It's a beautiful, beautiful room. And they're all there. And I was just there this past Easter weekend with my family and my granddaughter. And I prayed there. I put my hands. There was a petroglyph with a handprint, and I put my hand in the handprint, and I prayed. I said, please, please forgive us for not being find all your other relatives, but we want to acknowledge that we're trying our best to put you back together so the people can still come here to pray and for world peace, is what we were anticipating.
Hope.
Comment.
Yes. That is a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
With your permission.
Yes.
Brothers, I would like to offer you a prayer.
Hello.
Oh, Heavenly Creator of all things, oh, Great Spirit of our ancestors, I raise my pipe to you, to your messengers, the four winds, and to the Mother Earth who provides for your children. Give us the wisdom to teach our children to love, to respect, and to be kind to each other so that we may grow with peace of mind. Let each of us share all the good things that you have provided for us on this earth. Amen.
Hope.
Thank you.
Lamea. Hello.
What up?
Thank you for that prayer. It's a wonderful place of peace there as well. And the other part is you know, the hot springs there. The waters of life are so, so important. For all the people, and they must be always kept in their sacredness.
Yes, beneath us is what scientists call the Great Arkansas Aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so deep and it is so wide that it actually composes most of the state of Arkansas beneath the ground, about 30 miles. It also flows down into Texas, over into Oklahoma, down into Louisiana and Mississippi, and a little bit over into Tennessee as well. It is that large. It is the largest underground lake in the world.
Wow.
And it comes up right here at Mauna Kea. I call it the birthing water. The birthing water of the mother, because it is the original water that was here at the beginning. It is being held for us far beneath the surface of the earth. On top of that very hard rock crust is our stratus of crystal that are over 30 miles wide and at least 40 miles in length. And from above, if you could envision it this way,
oh, it looks like we've lost him again. Okay, folks, we're going to...
Well, I'm still here.
Don't know what's going on. Yeah, this is crazy, and we might just have to end early, unfortunately. Still got 38 minutes to go. Okay. Sorry, folks. Please stand by. Thank you. Thanks for your patience, folks. Please stand by. We're attempting to get Grandfather Lee back on the line.
Hello?
Okay, are we all three back on the air now? Okay, sir.
Yes.
I have no idea. Maybe it's just spiritual opposition. I've done 30 interviews and never had him drop a call, so... I'm sorry.
Yes, that's fine. It's just a boogie burst coming in.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
The first one was at 11:11.
Ah.
Ah.
Oh, interesting. Oh, anyway, so where were we?
Well, there were so many things that we have to. It is so interesting to have the opportunity to, you know, to sit and talk with our old friends again. It's we never have a time here at Manitaka that we get lonely. Because there's always someone knocking on the door. But it's just good to be able to talk of these things that we're talking about this evening. And
I look forward to making
and
it down
you,
there.
You are so right. I hear so many people talking about the 2012 thing, and they're talking about it in such a way that it is gloom and doom and it's apocalypse and all of that. And then I hear others who talk about fear of things like the government. And it's not to say that we're not living through some very interesting times, some very trying times. But they speak about it in such a way that it creates fear. And this is just the opposite of the way that we need to be moving in order to create this new consciousness, this mass consciousness that will allow our spirits to rise above all of the ills and troubles of today's world.
Well, I know the Creator will take matters into His own hands, and Mother Earth will take things into her own hands, and whatever power that some people have that use the so-called instances of fear to control people, they will not be able to hold on to that, because it's not in our real destiny. Our real destiny is for life and for peace and no fear.
Yes, yes.
And this is what we are about to have appear in everyone's dreams, or their visions, their minds. They will hear these sounds coming from the oceans. These songs. They will hear these songs coming from the air. I mean, all these things that have said that they would happen long ago, they're about to occur again. But just to let us know that things are going in the right direction.
Yes, of course. It is when people feel like they are overcome with worry because of the employment situation or the economic issues or political problems of the day or whatever they may be, people, all they need to do is to walk outside, pull their shoes off, find that tree, find that place that's nearby where they can close their eyes and smell the wind, and they can feel the breeze on their cheek, and where they can feel the Spirit of God all the way around them. They know they're never alone. Calm themselves down to where they can hear these songs that you speak of. Yes. And when that happens, they have already begun this great transition.
they're removing themselves from all of that fear. They're placing them into a themselves into a place of bliss and to joy. And those who speak of anger towards others, those who speak of angry things, we just need to not pay much attention to them anymore, because they're not representative of where we need to go and where we need to be.
Yes, that's right. I was so blessed in my life to meet so many young people that shared their dreams with me, and they meant a lot to me for them telling me these things. And, one young lady told me, she said, there's going to come a time when we're all going to wake up, and then we're going to realize that we need to start on that path of life, and we will walk through the mountains, we'll walk through the caves, walk through the trees, we'll walk through the valleys, wherever it is we're led to walk to go together and pray for this new symbol of peace that's about to appear on the horizon. We will do it, and we won't need any money. We won't need any gas. The way God showed it to her, he said, me and my dad and my mother and my brother, we all jumped in the car, and I looked at the gas gauge in the car, and the gas tank was empty. And my father said, "Don't worry, we're going to make it where we need to go," and they were going to the Black Hills. She'd never been there. In her vision, she went to the Black Hills and she saw this beautiful place, beautiful river and this beautiful valley, green grass and teepees and all these wonderful things over there. And she said that we didn't need any of these things. And she said some of the people that didn't get in the cars and go on that path with us, they wanted to go. And they asked my father about it. He said, "Why can't we go with you in your car?" And he says, "Well, I told you that God is coming, and that you were supposed to start praying, and you were supposed to start loving one another, and you were supposed to stop all this jealousy and anger and violence. And so, we can't take you with us on this road. It's all up to your own individual selves of what, how you walk your walk of life and how you help one another, And so that was just symbology of her dream. It meant a lot to me, what she was sharing, that all these things aren't so important. These material things aren't so important when you really, really, truly find out what the boundless love is all about, It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yes, it is. We may have a great deal of time before these transitions begin to take place. I believe that they've actually begun to take place. I believe that the transitions began a long time ago, and we've not been aware of it. But now our awareness, our consciousness is coming to a point that we are keenly tuned in to these things. And Manataka only plays a role. It plays a fulfillment, a part of that prophecy, as part of the signs that we can look to. We're very fortunate. I know that many people would like to have ways of being able to contact you, Oblesa. How do they do that now? Are you to a point where you are inviting people to contact you, or?
Yeah, the people can contact me under On Facebook, I have a page, and Grand Chief Wolblaza. I didn't get to tell you why I have that title. Long ago, back in 1999, I began following the elders to these wonderful council gatherings of the Eagle and the Condor, and then about 2000, the leader of the elders council said to the people, the other elders, "Well, I'm going to step down now." He says, "We need to have someone else to take on a role, a responsibility of helping the people with these prophecies and things that we need to share with the people."
And his name was?
His name was Leon Secatero.
Leon Secatero, yes. We know Leon, well, it's before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was very fortunate to be asked by to stand in for him as the father during a wedding of Uma on the Paiute Res.
Yes.
Oh, this has been a number of years ago, but yes, I remember Leon, and I do recall these words of Leon, who is a great man, a beautiful man,
mm-hmm.
who passed this responsibility, great responsibility, and over to you.
Yes.
And at the time, I was fearful. I should not have been, should have had more faith. But I knew that there was times of darkness that would come to test you and many people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is now behind us.
Yes.
Behind
you. At that wonderful gathering, there was, I think, three principal chiefs of the Cherokee. There was many, many wise grandmothers, clan mothers from different tribes. And there was like about 11 or 12 chiefs from the different tribes who participating in the ceremony of making me the Grand Chief. Now, of the Spiritual Elders of Mother Earth Council, it was called, and I stepped down from that position to go on with other work that I have to do.
Yes.
So on my website, on Facebook, I say former Grand Chief of the Spiritual Elders. And so Wolblaza, Wolblaza, on Facebook. I do have that, which I share many stories of wisdom from the different elders that I found that are online, on the internet. And there's some wonderful songs and stories of many gatherings. And matter of fact, Irma just called me tonight, and she invited me to one of their ceremonies down her way in Bishop, California. And
oh, beautiful.
At the same time, there's an elder coming all the way from Mexico City, 94 years old, Toltec elder, grandfather, Tlacael. He's coming. And he's going to participate with him in the ceremonies. We're going to get to be able to meet him and share dinner with him and prayers and whatever else we're going to do at that time. And it's going to be a very spiritual time because it's going to be a solar eclipse in the daytime. It's going to be a powerful time. And he's going to share with us his journey and his vision of how the Book of People were long ago down there south with him in Mexico, and that we did the Sundance with him many, many, many generations ago, and he brought it back to his people, and he just always gives thanks to the coming back of the One Big Family. So he's a very wise man, and he's very, he gives many gifts to the children and people with his wisdom and his just his being, and so I'll be happy to meet him and see him.
Oh, that will be a beautiful time, I know. That
mm-hmm.
will be a beautiful time. And so that will be taking place later this summer.
Yes, in May. In
oh,
May.
My. Very soon.
Yeah, mid-May.
Very soon.
In June is a very busy month. Many, many people are gathering at all different sacred sites on Mother Earth and doing
yes.
wonderful things together.
Yes, we're very fortunate. There are bear dancers there.
Yes.
And I've been fortunate to come and participate in the bear dances.
Mm-hmm.
And had my own bear.
Mm-hmm.
Was taken up one of the sacred mountains there about a month ago.
Mm.
And
that's a real honor. Back in 1996, I attended a traditional honor powwow for a Bear Clan Navajo elder, and the Utes came over from the adjacent reservation, and the bear touched my son, who appears white, but he's more Cherokee than I am, because his mother had more blood than I did. But the bear knows his own. The bear knows his own.
Yes.
Yeah, they help do special healing ceremonies for me during my recovery, which I really, really appreciated. My family did as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
I really give much thanks to the bear dancers from out west.
Yes, yes.
Many other people on the planet who heard about me through your messages to really help me recover and go back to my work. So I'm so happy to be here and be with you and doing this work again.
Yes, yes. It is time.
Mm-hmm.
It is time.
Yes.
So... I'm trying to be quiet.
Oh.
See, I'm trying to be quiet to allow more and more conversation between Will and yourself, you know.
I wish I could get on. You know what? I want to try to get my friend Mark on. I don't think this is going to work, but let's try. Mark is a real whiz on the Mayan calendar, and like I said, well, let's give it a try. This fellow is amazing, nothing short of amazing, and I know he's listening. And I'd like Mark to. We've got about 19 minutes left, and it'd be nice.
So,
hey, Mark.
Hello?
Yeah, Mark,
yeah.
You're on the air. Believe it or not, I think we got. No, let's see. Well, Blaza, can you hear us?
Yes.
And Grandfather Lee, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Mark, would you? We've got about 20 minutes left. Why don't you give these two gentlemen their Mayan birthday readings?
Okay.
Oh.
Who wants
What's
to go?
What's the date?
Let's do Grandfather Lee first. He's eldest.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't born.
Oh.
See, I wasn't had no time of my time of. You know, do I have no birthdays?
Okay.
Your mother might say something different.
See, we do it like we do, you know, how we get new kind of Indians. You know, we kind of mix them up together.
Ah, right.
It's like you know what you get when you cross a Chickasaw Indian. And you cross a Chickasaw Indian with a Potawatomi Indian.
Mm.
And then you go in and you mix them up again, and you kind of mix in a Paiute Indian.
Yeah.
You know what you get out of all of that? chicken pot
rainbow.
Pie.
A chicken pot pie, yeah.
Yeah, you get chicken pot pie, brother.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Oh, I like chicken pot pies. Especially if they're flaky.
Well, whoever wants to volunteer his birthday first gets to go first.
That should honor should be to Oblaze.
May 29.
May 29.
What year?
1950.
Okay,
May 29, 1950.
Yeah, see, easy.
That's correct.
Young. Yeah.
Okay, your Mayan birth in the traditional day count is a 6 Lamat. It's in the it's the 6th day of the Akbal cycle. That those that combination kind of goes with things about caves, dreaming, intuition. Lamat glyph is commonly connects into the planet Venus, especially the morning star cycle.
I hate to interrupt, but I ran his Torah portion. You know, everyone is supposedly encoded in the Torah, and the first line of the Torah portion is revealing, and it said God spoke to Moses, telling him, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you light the lamps, the 7 lamps shall illuminate the menorah." So talk about 7 fires.
Yes.
Anyway, I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Wow. That sort of fits right in there.
It does.
So, but looking in a little bit more towards earlier in the show, when you first started, you spoke of new times and new calendar.
Yeah.
So we're gonna look at the birth from another calendar, and it's the one that's ahead of us in the future, moving backwards on us right now, and it's telling us a little bit more about you. And I'm looking at 2 flows of time right now, for what we call normal, forward, but also a backward flow, and then also where the 2 time flows unite and unify. So I'll go over real quick with you and tell you about each one. The forward one, moving forward from birth, is talking about unveiling, transformation, change, equality, order, eternity, dynamics of the equality, so a change. It's on a 6 semi, which is very close to Mayan elder Don Alejandro's. His birth was on 5 semi. So there's a connection there. Moving backwards on the backwards flow of time, you have things that have to do with expanding life. We've heard about that being talked about tonight. Enlightenment, fire, courage, light, especially a radial spiraling form of light that would move across the DNA, which we heard talking about earlier as well. Flourishing, prosperity, and awareness. So a lot of things about change in life that relates to light. That particular thing is going to be very close to the end of the 13 buck ton long count. It's going to connect into there just about, I believe, the next day. So it would be the evening of December 22nd, 2012. Mm. There's a connection there. And it has sun energy. So it's in a howl or a flower glyph. So a lot of things with light and the sun. And the change of world cycles in the Toltec, Aztec, and all that tradition were called suns. The first sun, 6th sun, 5th sun, whatever, you know. And so that's on the backward flow. So a lot of things showing up, probably these types of energies would have been showing up in your life probably since somewhere right around either before or right after 1998, roughly. Just a rough guess. So that those type of things probably have become more prevalent or powerful in your life. Where these two time flows come together, and this third part of it is going to symbolize the doorway or a bridge between the world cycles. And for it, it's speaking for you of completion, power, balance, correct actions, dimensionality, and dimensionality relating to form and matter. And it's also talking about will, purpose, and discipline. So that is kind of a guiding energy. So there's a guiding energy of purpose, discipline, and will in terms of using correct things and balance to work with the dimensionality. And key word on it is really balance. So balance is going to be one of the very key things that's going to probably operate in your life to move you from one cycle to the next. This particular balancing energy is in the fourth day of the Eek cycle. Blue Otter was born on a day called Nine Eek, so there's the connection between you and him, specifically on that Eek glyph. And the Eek glyph is also called the Wind glyph. And so it would relate to earlier when we were talking about Vishnu. One of the derivations of that goes back to wind. So that would connect in here as well. But balance is a very key thing. Balance in completion and purpose, discipline, correct actions, and things like that. So those are very important things, I think. The color of it for this particular symbol is the color green.
Hmm.
That particular color, if you go and we look at the Mayan Popol Vuh book, as they're moving from one world cycle to another, they actually have a prayer in there. And earlier in the book, they mentioned different paths or roads, the red, the black, the yellow, the white. But when they're moving between the world cycles and the sun is gone and they're in the darkness, they only mention one path, and that's the green path. The green color would be the center color of the rainbow, Ixchel.
Yes.
The green color is the center color of the seven chakra system. The green color is the heart chakra. So, balance of the heart.
Wonderful.
So that's it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, a lot. You know, especially around 1998, a lot of things were happening and moving me way forward in my spiritual work and my meeting my teachers and becoming a teacher and all these other wonderful things that happened to me and having me get a better understanding of the work that I was doing and that I am about to do. And, you know, I know my messages from my uncle, Martin Heiber, the great medicine man, Lakota medicine man, he always sends me messages from the spirit world, and he said, you know, that you're doing wonderful work, and he always says, sometimes he sees me kind of like running in circles around some of the work that he did, but I don't feel like I do anything like that. I mean, being able to be in his presence when I was in his presence on here, on this plane of earth. He was a wonderful teacher and mentor of mine. And I carry with them all the stone messengers, you know. That's one of my power things is the stone nation.
Yes.
And that's why I become a prophecy keeper, because Sitting Bull sent me a sacred stone long ago. And he said it was held in the hands of many prophets. So that showed me I need to follow that work.
Well, we've got 7 minutes left. Do you want to give it a try, Grandfather Lee?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I did not catch what you were saying.
Did you want to volunteer your full birth date?
Oh my! You think it's okay to do that? Did it hurt very much, Warblazer?
Oh no, it didn't.
It did not hurt at all, huh?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe ask him tomorrow.
No, that's true. That's true. Ask you tomorrow. Find out. I'm sorry. I'm coughing. My date is May 6th.
What year?
1946.
Okay, 1946.
So your birth on the Mayan traditional date count was on a day called Four Con. It's actually the fourth day of the entire 260-day cycle, the fourth day of the Imec cycle. Con is a glyph that looks like a seed being planted in the ground. In their culture, typically they would think of it as a corn seed.
Yes.
And this would make a connection back to a particular set of stars, namely the Pleiades.
And of course, Blazes, mentioning the seven fires, that's the seven candlesticks in the Book of Revelations, is the mentioning Jesus holding the seven candlesticks in his right hand. That's the Pleiades.
So now we'll go and we'll do the same thing we did earlier. We're going to look at the two time flows, backwards, forwards, and the balancing one. The forwards one is a green color, so it has all the things we talked about earlier. But yours is not balanced. Yours is your green glyph is joy. I think it was you that mentioned that word several times, bliss and joy, in
that's right,
this conversation. Mm-hmm. So you've already spoken about your own birth during this interview. It is speaking about rejoicing, things about attracting soul, joy and forgiveness. They worked together. It's actually the beginning day of that particular cycle, so its energy moves across the whole thing, the entire cycle, and this particular day is in the center of the entire, there's a wall mandala of the whole system, and it's actually in the very heart or center of it. It starts that whole cycle. It's also aligned with Hunebku, Mayan word, the one giver of movement and measure, basically everything. So that's moving forwards from your birth forward from this world cycle into the next. On the backward flow of time, moving from the next world cycle back into our world cycle, your birth is connected to a day called Ten Eek. Blue Otter saw this number mentioned earlier when I sent him an email, 1 plus 9 Eek. So here we see it popping up. It's something that we were talking about earlier. Now it's showing up literally on your birth. And your friend had his balance thing sitting in the eek cycle. So we have both of you now, all three of you, actually connected into that eek.
And eek is all about communicating urgency.
Spirit. It's also, the symbol is a T-cross. If you go to the Great Kiva at Chaco Canyon, you'll see a T-cross entering into it. You'll see it at Palenque. You'll see it at many of the Pueblo windows. It relates to the wind. It relates to the Quetzal part of Quetzalcoatl. Eek relating the wind relates to the one they called the Lord of the Wind and Water, also called the Peacemaker, Manitoka, Place of Peace.
Right.
So this one is talking about, your Ten Eek is talking about the spirit, the prayer, but the Ten has another power energy associated with it. It has a energy of what's called the spherical tone or energy or song of oneness. So it's a specific type of energy of the eek, of the communication, and it's about oneness. I think we've heard you talk about that tonight as well. I think you said one whole family or something like that.
Yes, yes.
It's working with
all our relations.
Your friend in this 10 eek has a partner energy, and it's a transformation, change, and that. What we just mentioned a few minutes ago about your friend on the other flow of time. So he's going one way with that energy, you're going the other way. They meet in the center, your inner energies of joy and the weak eek wind communication spirit. They meet in the center, and they meet on something that speaks of a melody of loving and a releasing or unbinding or releasing loyalty, friendship, loyalty, you know, good friends, heart, good virtues, liberation. And again, it's bringing up the eek energy again with breath,
folks,
communication, prayer.
Blog Talk's going to cut us off in about 5 seconds, and we may get to go over, but otherwise, goodbye.
Okay,
all right.
The last
okay.
thing is the volcano in Africa when that comes.
Okay, looks like
that's
still together.
That's a big sign.
Blessings
big
to all.
In the future.
Peace to all.
Peace to all.
Yes.
Oh, and I might add, looks like Blog Talk's letting us run over. Grandfather Lee, your Torah portion indicates that is associated with the descendants of Aaron, his priests, and it specifically, the Haftorah specifically mentions descendancy from Zadok, as in Melchi Zadok, and mentions wearing turbans, which is what Cherokees do, and being involved with offerings and ceremony. So you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to know that. Here, I was going to try to figure out, how am I going to make a joke out of all this? How am I going to make, you know. But it's been wonderful. It's been beautiful. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Will, have a good afternoon, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much.
Uste, honey, we.
Okay.
Yeah, have a good evening as well. And just remember, you know, when the people really, really, really need to get ready, it's not in 2012, but it's when the volcano goes off in Africa.
There you go.
Yep.
That's when you really, really need to get ready and listen.
Yes. Then they will.
They will.
Then they will.
That possibly could be the one in the Canary Islands off of Africa. See, us Cherokees, we've always been concerned about the reason why we moved up into the mountains, even though we were seagoing people, is we were afraid of floods because we've known this to happen before. So, anyway, stay in your high ground. Well, folks, this has been Prophecy Keepers, and thank you very much for listening, and may Creator bless all of you. And let me say in Cherokee, I love you, which is Gage Yui. Good night, folks.
Bye-bye now.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a seventh-grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
last